Tony texts in, intercepted Tom Brady, got a hole in one, bowled a 300, benches into the 400s. Which ones of these are lies?
Some people are just blessed.
Or?
I have backup for everything I've done.
Yeah. Who saw
Let's
you
call
bench?
Ronnie Brown.
Who saw you bench 400?
Ronnie Brown.
Who saw you bench 400?
Just said Ronnie Brown.
Anyone see you bench 400?
Jason Taylor, Zach Thomas. Who you want me to call? Sedano probably saw me bench 400.
Oh, he did, man. We'll go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. George Sedano, you can hear him on ESPN Los Angeles every day. You see him all over ESPN during NBA season, which for the Miami Heat kicks off tonight as they host the Milwaukee Bucks at FTX Arena. And Sedano's with us now. What do you think? Of all those factoids about Crowder, he bowled a perfect game once. He hit a hole-in-one on an actual golf course once.
Jeff Darlington was there.
He intercepted Tom Brady. That one I can attest to. I know that one was true. And now he's telling us in the last segment that he used to bench over 400.
So here's the thing. I've been in that Dolphins locker room before, and I'm pretty sure it was when Channing was there. Now, granted, I go way back to when Darryl Gardner was in there making guys look weak, benching stuff around the Dolphins weight room. But I'm pretty sure that, you know, in Channing's heyday, I don't know if you could bench 400 now, and I wouldn't doubt you on it, but I definitely think back then you could have. I actually think the perfect bowling game is the one that that you're lying about.
Yeah. Yeah, because you know what happens.
No, I was drunk, and sometimes you have drunk luck.
And sometimes you remember things incorrectly when you're drunk. That's the thing that I think with the 300 bowling game.
Joey
Sedano.
Porter was there.
Well, then get Joey Porter on the phone.
Yeah.
I'm telling Hawk we can call whoever we want, Sedano. I don't lie.
Yeah. Oh!
All I haven't lied. I haven't lied since I've been married. I used to lie when I was single.
Oh, my God. All right, let's talk Miami Heat here. It's Jimmy, it's Bam, it's Kyle Lowry now instead of Goran Dragic, maybe a resurgent Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson and the other additions, PJ Tucker, Markieff Morris. So in Sedano's opinion, where are they in the East? Because we had Gary Payton on a couple days ago. He said top three team in the East on this show. But then I saw Barkley the other night. He's got the Chicago Bulls ahead of Miami. So, Sedano, what's your opinion on the Heat in the East?
Yeah, listen, if I'm going to sit here, and I love Charles, but Gary Payton knows defense. And this Heat team is going to be a top 5, 6, 7 defense in the NBA. The Chicago Bulls don't play defense. They're going to be allergic to playing defense. The only reason that they played a game yesterday where their opponent scored poorly is because their opponent missed a bunch of open looks. But I think they're at least a top 4 team. I would say top 3 is certainly reasonable. I think a lot of that has to do with Ben Simmons, personally. And if and when Philly gets something for him, what does that return look like? Look, I like their chances against anybody in a 7-game series. I do. I love the Kyle Lowry addition. And I like it for a number of reasons. Number one, he's just a better player than Goran at this stage of his career. And I would say at their peaks, you would say Kyle is at the very least the more complete player, because on defense, he's excellent. And he's going to be able to fight over screens. A big problem for the Heat was the point of attack. And whether it was Goran or Kendrick Nunn, even when Goran was scoring 20, he was giving up on the other end. Not giving up literally, but giving up points on the other end. So I think Kyle helps you there. While Kyle, I don't know if he's elite at that anymore, I think he's still a huge upgrade over what the Heat have had in recent years. So I think that helps. We know he can knock down a three, particularly in the pull-up. That was something Nick Nurse had him doing a ton in Toronto. And the offense has looked so much better with him guiding it. It just, you know, maybe it's just the ability that he has and teams respect it differently. Or he's just perhaps a better organizer of the offense than Goran was. Goran, remember, was a scoring guard for most of his career. So that's kind of where his mindset always was first. And I like P.J. Tucker. Look, I think P.J. Tucker's like a perfect role player. Now, P.J. Tucker's 36 years old. Hopefully they can get a little more mileage out of him. But I think he certainly serves a purpose. But this team, Hawk and Crowder, they're going to go as far as, and this is going to sound crazy, as Tyler Hero goes in a lot of ways.
Wow.
Because I think Bam will continue to get better. I think we'll see some of that this year. And I think he'll be more assertive on offense, which is certainly necessary. But if Tyler's good, then this team can be a championship-level team or a team that can be in an Eastern Conference or an NBA Finals.
Yeah, George, that was my concern, man. We were talking about it earlier, and I was like, if we're around 100 or under 100, the Heat are going to dominate. But if the other teams get into that 120, 125 range, couldn't the Heat keep up? And you kind of hit – I was going to ask that too. Is it on Duncan and Tyler more than the additions and the stars, the Bams, the Jimmies, where those shooters got to step up this year? And last year, let's be honest, they didn't.
They didn't, right. And the year before, they were, I believe, number two in the league shooting the ball, the year that they went to the finals. Even before the bubble, they were on fire. So I think that some of that is certainly important. Like, everybody's got to elevate their game. And people will have to adapt, too. And that includes Jimmy. Now, I think Jimmy is pretty malleable, right? Like, he's kind of someone that can kind of morph his game into whatever is needed. But I just like the potential of this team. Let's just face it. Let me put it in plain terms. They got a bunch of dogs on this team. And I mean that in like a good way. You know what I mean? Like, where they're just going to get up in you and get after you. And that's Miami Heat basketball. Not to sit here and say that the more finesse teams that they've had over the years haven't been fantastic to watch, but even those championship teams with LeBron in them, everybody was like, oh, they're a finesse team. But they played hellacious defense, those teams. And this team has that as its backbone. And I think that that is really more in line with what the Heat have been historically, particularly as Pat Riley has been steering the ship.
Again, Miami Heat open tonight, FTX Arena. You can hear the game on 790. The Ticket, George Sedano from ESPN is with us. Let's just go around the league real quick before we run out of time with you. The Lakers, they lost on their opening night. Russell Westbrook looked out of place. I guess that would be a fair description of that game. How does the West shake out, in your opinion?
The West is a bloodbath, man. The East is really tough now, too, but I think the West is still a bloodbath. I think the West is pretty much up for grabs in a lot of ways. I think – here's the thing with the Lakers. Yeah, Russell Westbrook, there's going to be nights it looks terrible. There's going to be nights it looks good. I think it's very much like – here's what I'll say. I've talked to people around LeBron, and they've said – and I'm not – this isn't, like, directly, like – I'm just telling people that are associated with him. And their feeling was, hey, we want to recreate what we had in Miami. Right? Except here's the difference. Russell Westbrook, for as athletic as he is, certainly more athletic at that stage than Dwayne was, he's not as savvy and he's not as good a defender. And Dwayne morphed his game, as we all know, to be able to adapt to LeBron. I'm curious to see if Russ can do that or if LeBron's going to have to do the adapting at this stage of his career. The other part of the equation is Anthony Davis. While more talented than Chris Bosh, I don't think there's any question about that. You know, Chris Bosh was as accommodating a star as there was. And Anthony Davis needs to take a page out of the Chris Bosh book and just play center full time. Because this Lakers team, on top of the Westbrook stuff, the bigger issue is their defense. They're not good on defense, at least with this particular roster, unless Anthony Davis plays center full time, which gives them a bit of a cushion with him just kind of protecting things back there. So I think the West is up for grabs. If I had to pick a team, I'm still going to take a healthy LeBron and Anthony Davis to figure it out. But I think there's a lot of teams in there that can be involved. I think Denver is really good, and I think that they're only going to get better when Jamal Murray gets back in February or March. Like, that's a team that I think for the next several years will compete in the Western Conference to get to the NBA Finals.
And talking about another big three, George, I got to jump back into the East. What's going to go on with Kyrie? How does this end with Kyrie Irving?
Man, I don't know. You got a crystal ball? I don't know what the hell is going to happen there. Yeah, I have no idea. I mean, you could tell me Kyrie retires tomorrow, and I'd believe it. You could tell me he's back tomorrow, and he got vaccinated, and I would believe it. Okay? So I have no idea. If there's one player, and I'm not alone on this, that nobody in this sport can read, I know people used to say that about Kawhi, but at least with Kawhi, you get some inclination occasionally. With Kyrie, I don't think anyone knows where his mind is at any given moment. So, I mean, That's just the problem. Now, here's the thing. The Nets are so damn good with Harden and Durant. They may not need him, because if you look at the numbers, when it was just two of those dudes, particularly when it was Harden and Durant when they were both healthy. I mean, they still had the best offense in the league and a historic offense at that. So they don't even need all three guys to be championship-level good. Now, I think the East has gotten better. I think Milwaukee's got confidence. Giannis is playing hard as hell, and the Heat are here to come, make some noise. And I think Philly, depending on what happens with them, is certainly going to be in that mix. But, like, they're just really good, those two. Like, I mean, you're talking about two top five players, man. You know, I don't even know if the Lakers can boast that right now unless Anthony Davis gets back to being the guy he was 2 years ago.
George Sedano, he's based in L.A., but he is still Hialeah through and through. So I'm going to ask you one quick Dolphins question on the way out. What do you make from afar of the Dolphins Deshaun Watson rumors?
It says to me that you got a lot of pressure, right? You got a lot of pressure there. They've blown a lot of picks, okay? They had this treasure trove, this war chest of picks, and very few have panned out. And I think this is one last-ditch attempt to save people's jobs. That's just my personal opinion on it. And look, I'm just strictly talking about the football aspect of this because the legalities will play itself out in one way, shape, or form, and what he's accused of is awful. But strictly from a football perspective, I mean, I get it, but to me, it reeks of desperation of them trying to just save their job. Them, I mean the front office, the coach, everybody. And Stephen Ross trying to save face, right? So I think all of that is the way I look at it. My question to you is, you know, what I got a question for you now. Now, what the clock, is it ticking on Manny Diaz or what? I'm not trying to push a fellow Cuban out, man. But
no question.
Good Lord. Yeah. Like, I'm not saying this to be a jerk, but they definitely picked the wrong Cuban when they went after Manny Diaz.
Mario Cristobal was out there, yeah.
I mean, listen, let me explain something to you. And I hope the University of Miami boosters who have the issues with Mario Cristobal are out there listening right now. Because I actually want this platform for a second to say this. Mario Cristobal, when he got fired from FIU, if you recall correctly, came to the University of Miami to be on Al Golden's coaching staff. I believe his title was associate head coach or something like that. And left like 6 weeks later because Nick Saban came calling, okay, and made him the assistant head coach and his recruiting coordinator. And there are people at the University of Miami that have the audacity to be upset at Mario Cristobal because he left the tire fire of Al Golden 6 weeks later for the greatest coach in the history of college football to be able to learn from that guy so that he can then eventually get any job he wanted because he will have learned from the best. Let me explain something to you. Anybody out there at the University of Miami, any of those boosters or board of trustees who's still upset at Mario Cristobal all these years later and is the reason why he hasn't gotten an opportunity there, shame on you. This is on you, too. You can blame it on Manny and on Blake and all them, but it's on you because you guys had the right guy. Had the right guy in your sights, and you've done it. You've not brought him to Miami out of pettiness and pure spite, and it's stupid. You don't make business decisions when you're emotional, okay? And he's clearly the best coach for the University of Miami. The University of Miami needs a special person to be able to bring it back to the level they want it to be or the fans want it to be. I am curious to see if the administration actually does want it to be the way they claim they say they want it to be, right? Because I believe what Barry Jackson wrote, all right? I believe that for a second. I know my guy Jason Jackson pushes back on that, but I will tell you this. In the pudding. Show actions, okay? Not words. I want to see action. And if you're committed to the University of Miami being a football school again and building those beautiful buildings that they've built there like it has previously, then you go out and get Mario Cristobal, okay? A guy who knows what he's doing, who learned from the best. And don't be petty because he left tire fire of Al Golden to learn from the best in the business.
Well said, Jorge Sedano. Well said.
How about that for like a wrestling promo?
Yeah, I don't think Manny Diaz will be the coach next season. I don't know anything. That would just be my guess, just based on the.
Man, it's not personal. You can't do the job. It seems fairly obvious.
No, he's a super nice guy. We love having him on the radio. Super nice guy. I just Manny Navarro had written something in The Athletic after the loss where he said, you know, hey, 30 games into Manny Diaz's tenure, they are no better off than they were. They're a mediocre team. And I pointed out, I think mediocre might be being generous there. Like, he's had plenty of time. And injuries today play a role, you know, De'Aaron King. I mean, it would have been a different season, I imagine. But, Yeah, no, you've had plenty of time.
Maybe.
I don't think he's long for the job is my guess.
And they've got the 59th, I think, or something ridiculous like that, recruiting class right now. Because people are like, they know what this is. You know what I'm saying? And coaches are negatively recruiting against them. All right, I'm done. I mean, by the way, Crowder, I know why you don't lie anymore. It's because you have a Cuban wife. You can't be messing with that.
That's right.
George, don't call her out, please.
Yeah. No, you know that saying of, you don't know the scorn until you hear, or what is that saying about the scorn, a woman's scorn, a woman's scorn? Well, just add Cuban to that and make it like 10 times worse.
No, there's something else. Love it to death, though, George, but they are something
no
else.
No one knows the wrath of a woman's scorn, something like that. No one knows.
Yeah, something like that. But
Hell hath no fury. Hell hath no fury, yes, like a woman scorned.
I slept on the balcony.
That is on the back porch. That is 100% true. But just when you add a Cuban woman, forget it. Add like 100-fold.
George Sedano, Hialeah, now LA ESPN. You'll see him all season long during hoops. Thank you, George.
Awafango y Factoria.
There you go. Jorge Sedano brought the fire there.
He
brought the fire. And he's not wrong about anything that he said there regarding Mario Cristobal and the University of Miami.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
We've got guts!
Hawk and Crowder.